hear it, to receive it, to believe it. Help me to speak, Lord, the way you want it said. And Father, just have your way tonight, Lord. Just be with each person here, Lord. I know there's a lot of people missing for whatever reason, Lord. But Father, the ones who can make it, and be with them where they're at, but the ones who can make it, Lord, just let it be a time where you just show them how you love them and just appreciate them sacrificing to come, Lord, tonight. We ask this in your name. Amen. If you want to turn in your Bibles, we're going to read from Matthew 24, starting the fourth verse. We're going to continue with the thought I've had of the day of the Lord. I want to look at a different aspect of it tonight. Matthew 24:4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. And these are the beginning of sorrow. You may be seated. Tonight I want to speak on the thought, the beginning of sorrow. And as we look back at here, what Jesus was saying, he's given this warning, all these things are happening, they're going to happen down through time. And we can look at many times through history, we saw these things happening, but we also know here at the very end, it's going to all end up in what we call the tribulation period. All these things are going to come together in one final, the worst time ever on earth kind of time, right? But he's talking to believers, and he said, be not troubled for all these things. The end is not yet. And then he said, we're going to have wars and rumors of wars and all this stuff. We can see that, and it's increasing more and more. And the more we try to have peace on earth, there's more wars and there's more terrorism, all this stuff going on. But he said, these are just the beginning of sorrows. It's not the end of it. It's not the finish of it. So he said, these things have to come. He said, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Well, that's not something we all want to look forward to, is it? But that's what we can look forward to, brother and sister. And it's been happening all the way down since this time. And it's going to continue all the way until the bride gets out of here in the rapture. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Look at this a little bit. What's going to be offending people? We got people around the message who are being offended all the time. And they're just walking away and say, forget it. I ain't doing this anymore. What's offending them? Brother and sister, it's the pressure that we're under. You say, well, I don't feel any pressure. That's the whole thing. Brother Todd and I were talking about the apathy you see around people. It's just like, yeah, I go to church. I go home. There's a spirit that is so pressuring us that we just lose our zeal. We lose our energy. We lose our desire. And it's like, well, I just kind of want to sit here and just like go through the motions. Why? Because this pressure is of these spirits, and it's come so soft, and it's not like, well, I'm getting you to sin, I'm getting you to do bad things and all that. It's just sit back and relax a little bit. You're tired. Everyone's tired. After going through fighting all the spirits we fight all day long, you can't help but be tired. This isn't a rebuke. This is just the way things are. The thing we have to recognize is that with all that, don't get to a place where you're apathetic, where it's just like, well, I don't think I feel like going to church tonight. I think I'll just stay home. Well, I don't know. Just like not much going on. I'll just kind of sit around and watch. Friends, that's what Satan wants. You gotta be in this 100%. And I'm not talking about I'm gonna really go for it. Not in your own ability, not in your own emotions, but get into the Word and let the Word keep that fire burning. Many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So there is a whole key to it. If we would just endure, we know the age we're living in. We know what we're walking through. We know this Laodicea world, how bad it is. And we know that all the devils in hell are against us. But he does it in such a way that instead of causing us to pray, it causes us to pray less. Instead of seeking God, because you know when bad something strikes you, you get sick or, you know, financial catastrophe or something going on, brother and sister, we pray. But when everything is just relaxed, we don't. It's just human nature. And we just kind of relax with it, and it's like, I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. Yeah. And it gets to a lukewarm state. And he can't stand lukewarmness. He can't stand it. So, this is the age we're living in. This is what the hand we've been dealt, so to speak. This is our part on this stage. We have to come out and we have to play our part. This is what God has called for the bride to go through, and we must withstand all these spirits coming against us. So let's look at this beginning of sorrows a little bit. Now, we know right already that the prophet spoke, judgment has struck this country. Let me read you something he said back in 1951. He's preaching in Los Angeles. He said, over on the East Coast, they're always hollering to me, why are you going to the West Coast? Everybody pulls out to Los Angeles. He said, maybe that's God's place. That's right. Right here is probably where judgment will strike. And that's right. Let's get ready. This will probably be the first place it'll be hit, right in here. Now, he said this in 1951. 1965, he came back to Los Angeles and preached Choosing of the Bride, and he said, this is where the earthquake is going to happen. This is 14 years before that. But back then, he said, yeah, what is it? He said, everything's heaping up on the West Coast. Everything keeps going west. And he said, all the evilness is all on the West Coast, and that's where it is. And you talk about evil. Go to California sometime and walk around a little bit. You think Tennessee is a paradise. I was talking about when it comes to morality and stuff like that. There's still some decent people around. You see what Alabama just did? Passed that law on abortion? Who would have ever thought? Boy, that's going to make some people mad. Remember when Brother Brandon, he was out there in the mountains and the Holy Spirit said, throw a rock in the air. And he warned everyone. He knew something was going to happen. So he warned everyone, get underneath something. Get under trucks. Do something. He threw a rock in there. And Brother Brandon said, when it came down, it drew the whirlwind. You had to do something like that symbolically. And he said that whirlwind went and struck three times, went up and down three times, and it was cutting off trees like 3 feet above their head and throwing rocks around. And it was a big blast like that three different times. And afterwards they came and said, Brother Brandon, what was that about? He said he prayed about it. God said, go ahead and tell him. He said, this judgment striking the West Coast. He said a couple days later, Alaska had that huge earthquake back in 1964, I believe it was. You know that earthquake that hit Alaska? You know they felt it all the way in Boston? Clear across the continent. And that was just a little shake. But what was it? It was the start of a judgment hitting that, and it's going to hit on the West Coast. So we know judgment is coming. Now go out to California, look at all the mudslides and the fires and the poverty and all that stuff, and they got one of the biggest economies in the world, and yet they can't pay all their bills. It's just crazy out there because that's where judgment is striking first. But don't worry, it's coming all the way back to us too. And so you say, well, Brother Phil, you say, well, what's that got to do with us? Judgment striking the coast and America, and we all know we're in for it. We're not going through the tribulation. You're right, we're not. And I want you to make sure you get that. I'm going to say it again. I said it Sunday. We are not going through the tribulation. It ain't going to happen. But the judgment is striking. It is striking out, and we're still here, aren't we? We are still here. And so we are going to be enduring some of the judgment that's striking this country because we're still here to endure it. All right? So what did he say? Those that endure till the end will be saved. So what can we look forward to? If you want to turn to Revelation 13, you don't have to. I'm going to read it through it real quick. But so then I ask, here we are, still here. What can the bride look forward to right before the rapture takes us out of here? This beginning of sorrows that's going on. So Revelation 13:11, it says, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb. He spake as a dragon. We know this is speaking of the United States, our own country. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him and causes, now that first beast we know was the Roman Catholic Church, right? And he causes all the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed, and he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He deceiveth them that dwell upon the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. All very Very well-known scripture. You've all read that how many times? And we know that when that happens, when that beast comes down and takes over and the Antichrist becomes, you know, incarnate in that beast, that system, that man right there, we know we're going to be gone. The bride is gone before that happens. But let me read what Brother Branham said about this scripture, okay? This is in the Church Aid book. He said, remember, it was imperial pagan Rome that fell by the sword. But she was healed of her death stroke when she joined to the nominal Christian Church of Rome and incorporated paganism and Christianity, thereby become the Holy Roman Empire, which was to endure until Jesus came and destroyed her. So we can look back over here. It says, the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. So here, they're talking about Revelation, Brother Branham is explaining what that is. When that Roman Empire, it was ready to go to dissolve and disintegrate because of all its corruption, but it became Christian and become the Holy Roman Church, and so on, it's still in power. And you say, well, it's different. It's the same spirit, and that spirit was iron spirit, was just grinding everything in front in your way, and we saw that spirit down through the Inquisition and all the times down through the church ages where that church killed millions of people that got in the way, and she ain't done killing, folks. It's still going to be killing more. He said, Rome is not going it alone. Her daughters are right with her, and she will take over absolute authority by the World Council of Churches. This may seem far-fetched to some, but actually it is very plain for all to see, because right now the churches are controlling politics, and at the opportune time will manifest exactly how great is that control. He said back here in 60, he said the church is controlling politics, and at the right time they're going to show how much control they have. Now, don't get the wrong message, what I'm saying, the wrong idea. But what just happened in Alabama? The church is controlling, and they have a lot of power. And when it comes time, and you say, yeah, but it's a good thing to stop abortion. I totally agree, folks. It's a good thing. But that's just showing how much the power the church still has in this country. And you think, well, it doesn't. But you know why people think it doesn't? Because of the press. Because the press is so anti-Christian and anti-everything, and they control so much. But when enough Americans have had enough, they're going to step up and they're going to say, no, we're not going to do it this way. And they think they're doing God a service. They think they're doing the right thing. But they're taking all that power and putting it right in that council of churches and building that image to the beast. And for you to stand there and say, well, that's wrong, they're going to think you are crazy. They're stopping abortions. They're doing all this kind of stuff, and that's a good thing. But when you have it and you take it right into the church, how many people are going to get sucked in on that? Satan's a pretty smart old bird. Let me tell you what. He knows what he's doing. You say, don't you agree with that in Alabama? I absolutely do. But watch it. Don't get sucked into that system, folks. And you won't, because you can't. You won't be deceived. All right, said, this ecumenical move will end up with Rome at the head, even though the people do not envision it that way. This is so because in Revelation 17, it states that the whore mystery Babylon is seated on the beast. She is controlling the last or fourth empire. This Roman church is doing that. With the world church system under her, Rome will be controlling, and this image, which is the church system, will be obedient to Rome because Rome controls the gold of the world. So don't just, I know you know this, just to make sure everyone is on the same page. This image to the beast is not some giant robot looking creature or some Godzilla looking thing like that. The image to the beast was the Roman system of religion, and the image to it is one just like it. All right, so this image is the beast, is the church system that's controlled by Satan. My, doing wonders, doing great things to deceive everybody on earth. That's where we're living, folks. So Rome controls the gold of the world. Thus, all the people who have to belong to the world's church system or be at the mercy of the elements, for they cannot buy or sell without the mark of the beast in the hand or head. This mark in the head means they will have to take the doctrine of the world church system, which is Trinitarianism and stuff like that. And the mark in the hand means they'll do the will of the world church. You say, well, brother Phil, when that mark of the beast comes, the bride is gone. Yes, but listen to what he says. With this great power, the church systems, what is its great power? All the power behind it to cause people to buy and sell and take away that right. He said, the church systems will persecute the true bride. So, brother and sister, we are going to see the beginning of this stuff, the beginning of sorrows. All right? This image, the church system, will try to keep the bride from preaching and teaching. We're going to still be here for that. Her ministers, the bride's ministers, will be forbidden to give any comfort and truth to the people who need it. So, brother and sister, this church, this system is going to try to close this church and churches like it. Brother Branham said that. They're going to try to get the bride ministers to stop preaching. Now, can I really, I've preached this before. Let me just go off on a little tangent here. That's already happening within the message. That spirit is already trying to get the ministers to stop preaching. He said, Brother Phil, better be careful what you say. Is it true or not? Have I been told you need to stop preaching because you can't get it right? You can't get the message right like the prophet did. You should only listen to the prophet. Tell me that's not a spirit trying to get the bride to stop preaching. Boy, he's slick. That's a horrible thing, but it's true. But before the Antichrist in person takes over this complete world system of churches, the true church will be taken away from this world to be with the Lord. God will catch away the bride for the great marriage supper of the Lamb. So, brother and sister, I don't know what it's going to look like. I'm not going to pretend to tell you. But there's going to come a time when they're going to come to persecute us, trying to get us to quit preaching, trying to get us to quit having church. Why is this church so empty tonight, folks? Because Satan's doing a good job of keeping people away. He knows how important it is to be in church. He knows how important it is to hear the word of God in this day so we don't get lax and lukewarm and just lazy, apathetical. My. We will see the beginning of these. It's going to come against us. And brother and sister, Sunday, Lord willing, I'm going to preach on what we're going to be doing during that time, but we're going to kind of move on past that a little bit and just talk more about this. Now, let me put it this way. There ain't nothing to worry about. There's nothing to fear. Jesus said, be not ye troubled. All right? You say, well, Brother Phil, this is happening around the world right now. A lot of people are being persecuted. That's true, but it's not what this is talking about. Because you can go to a lot of countries and you can be killed or put in prison for being a Christian, any kind of Christian. And these people are being persecuted in that. I believe with all my heart God's got a place for them. They might not be message believers, but if you stand on what you believe, the light you have, and you give your life for it, God's got a way to take care of his people. But that's not what this is talking about. This ain't talking about the Muslims. This ain't talking about the Hindus or whoever else it is. This is talking about the Christian church doing this. See what I'm saying? So that part, especially in this country, hasn't really taken over yet. Because even though we see the spirit, and like I said, you know, trying to get us to quit preaching all that, it's going to be much more than that because they're going to have power to keep us from buying and selling and do all that kind of stuff. Unless you take the mark of the beast. How is that going to work? I don't know, brother and sister. Is it already happening? I don't know. Is it just spiritual? I don't know. But there's going to be a time, he said, you're going to be at the mercy of the elements for they cannot buy or sell. So here's the thing. Don't sit around and try and figure it out. Just have your eyes open like Jesus said. Watch. And so when these things happen, he can take you and show you what it is, what's going on. This Christian church is going to have the backing of the government. That's the thing that's going to make the difference, friends. Let's look at this a little bit. Pilate said, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? They said, away with him, crucify him. He said, who will I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus? And they made the mistake by choosing a murderer instead of a life giver. I say this with all godly respects for my brethren and sisters and for the men and women of this day who I preach to, who with love in my heart for all people. I wonder if we are not about ready to see the same thing as they seen then. The government had become involved in this and the issue was on. The question must be settled. It was at a showdown. So let's look back there. When they rejected Christ, what did they do? They had to go to get the government backing to back up their doctrines and their religion. Same thing today. Now, we've had this thing of separation of church and state, which has been really whacked the way we went about it. But that is going to completely be changed because the church, the religion, is going to run the government, and it's going to bring the persecution. All right? He said, so has it been today, so what is it in this hour? The showdown is on. Something's got to be done. You've got to say yes or no. But remember, it won't be when you're forced to do it. You have to do it on your own free moral will now. Free moral will now. Now, not when that time takes place. When it's done, it's over. So he's saying right here, he said, if you want to serve Christ and you want to be part of the bride and you want to be a Christian, he said, you need to do it now, not when the pressure comes, not when the squeeze comes on, when they start forcing, because when the forcing comes, it's too late. We're going to talk Sunday about what happens when that forcing comes and why it's too late. He said, now this may be the last day you'll have time to make a choice. You can't do it then. You already took it. Took what? The mark of the beast. It's too far at that time. You must do it now. Don't wait till the last minute because the boat will pull out and leave you. The doors will be closed. Many people would have run into the ark if they could have gotten in when the rain started falling. That's why I said, I think Sunday, I said that when things start happening, this church is going to fill up. There's going to become all kinds of message believers coming out of the woodwork saying, hey, I need to get right. I need to do something. I see things going on, and I'm reading a message. I'm reading the Bible. This is supposed to happen. I need to get the Holy Ghost. You got to do it now. You have to get it now because not only do you need to be born again, but you need to have your character molded to be the bride of Christ. You don't get that overnight. You get that after a period of time of going through the molding process. That's what we're doing. Isn't this exciting to see what God's doing? He's taking us and he's molding us. He's making us into the person he wants us to be. And if you come in the last month and say, hey, I want to get on this too, we're going to say, you need to go get the Holy Ghost and the same character I did. He said, I don't have time. I said, no, you don't. Where were you? Yet something else was more important. Idols. What excuses does Satan give to people to keep them out of church? Well, I'm not talking about if you have to work or you're sick or something like that, but what's it worth? He said the whole nation had to reject him because of that. It was called, as we would say today, a Christian nation. Like this is called a Christian nation. Therefore, if it was called Jehovah's nation, his selected people, then the whole nation had to turn him down. The church had already turned him down. The church had kicked him out. They wanted nothing to do with him. But now the government got involved in it. That's what's going to happen here, brother and sister. So is it back again. It's right back in the lap again with the scriptures laying here. Identified just exactly what Jesus said would happen. Why do we stagger on in this hour of darkness? Why do we let this come upon us when we've been thoroughly warned? The world, this nation, the warning came back in the 50s and 60s, and they ignored it, went right on, and judgment struck. Brother and sister, even now, message believers, they're being warned, and they just go right on. Just as it was in the days of Lot, we see the very same thing. Jehovah has set the scene and told us, as it was in the days of Lot. You see the messengers out yonder into Babylon trying to get Lot out. You see the message to the elect Abraham. That was already out. And everything's exactly in place and time has been thoroughly identified. Brother and sister, this was going on 50 or 60 years ago. Where are we now? Those messengers, are Billy Graham and Oral Roberts both dead? I thought so. Brother Branham's gone. This was a long time ago. We had come down 60 years past this, or however long it's been, 50 years. So where are we at today? We are the ones who are making this word either live or die. We are the ones either going to be proving this message to be true or going to prove it's wrong. It's either going to take us in a rapture or it's going to leave us sitting here with our teeth in our mouth wondering what's going on. He said, now it's in the hands of the government. The government's got to condemn it now, and they're going to do it. Don't you worry about that. It's a Christian nation. It's got to take its Christian stand. If it is, the showdown is on, and it didn't take the Christian stand. It went for the heathen side. It went and joined the beast system. The whole nation has to be brought into judgment because it happened about AD 70. The Roman general came in and besieged Jerusalem with his army, and there they paid the price for rejecting him. Brothers and sisters, this country is paying the price for rejecting him the second time, putting him to open shame. And I'm not just talking about those denominational people. I'm talking about the message world. It's in horrible shape in some of these churches. They're so deceived. They're such good people, such wonderful people, but they don't see what they're doing. They're not allowing the word to have the effect it's supposed to have. He talks about, another place in the Church Age book, he talks about the temptation that's going to come upon us. It's a long quote, but I just feel to read it. He said, this temptation is exactly like the temptation in Eden. It will be a very inviting proposition held up in direct opposition to God's commanded word, and yet from the standpoint of human reasoning, it will be so very right, so enlightening, and life-giving as to fool the world. Let's go back to that one I talked about a minute ago. Held up in direct opposition to the word. Brother Branham, question is asked. Brother Branham, are you the only one who's supposed to preach? Are we supposed to have anyone to preach? Have other people supposed to preach? He said, if you're called to preach, you need to preach. We need you. That's what the prophet said. In direct opposition to that, they say, no one needs to preach but the prophet. That's their deception. But listen, he says, it'll be very inviting. And from the standpoint of human reasoning, it'll be so very right. And from human reasoning, it sounds good, because why would you listen to me if you can listen to a prophet of God? Don't it sound right? They said, I know I'm getting it right if the prophet speaks it. If you preach it, I don't know if it's coming out right or not. Well, if you believe what the word said, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and the stranger they will not follow. So you're denying your own conversion. My. Only the very elect will not be fooled. Now listen, he said the temptation will come as follows. The ecumenical move that has started on what seems such a beautiful and blessed principle, fulfilling Christ's prayer that we all be might be made one, becomes so strong politically that she bears pressure upon the government to cause all to join with her either directly or through adherence to principles enacted into law, so that no people would be recognized as actual churches unless under the direct or indirect domination of this council. And so what they're doing, this great system is coming along and saying, you all need to join in. You all need to be one with us, and either direct or indirect. And if you don't actually join in, you still have to follow our principles. What is it? It's the mark in the hand, doing what they want, or believing their doctrine. Can I just go a little bit further on that? Any spirit that does not confess that Jesus is come in the flesh is an antichrist spirit. And when you have to join together and you have to try and force this together and bring, and you're trying to accomplish, I'm trying to build a bride of Christ outside of that, instead of recognizing him in flesh, it's an antichrist spirit. There's going to be a ton of message believers standing at judgment day wondering how they got there. My. Little groups will lose charters and privileges until they lose all property and spiritual rights with the people. It's all about us. There'll come a time, brother and sister, that if we keep going long enough, they're going to come and they're going to try and shut this down. They're going to try and stop Brother Jerry and me from preaching. They're going to do all these kind of things. And it's going to come in such a way that if you try to stand against it, you're going to look like a total idiot. It wouldn't take much. Have one of these people shooting up church, schools and stuff and churches. Let it be a message believer once. Think of what that's going to look like. Well, I believe the message of William Branham, and I got these quotes, and I'm going to come, and all of a sudden we got this huge Bible. What is this message? What was this William Branham thing? And what kind of a stuff do you believe? I ain't going to say it's going to happen that way. I'm just saying it could be very easy to come that they start trying to shut us down because we're a bunch of crazy people. I won't argue with that. But it won't be hard. At the right time, this stuff is going to start happening, folks. I don't know what it's going to look like. Maybe it's already happened. I don't know. But we need to be ready. He says, as the pressure increases, and it will be harder to resist, for to resist is to lose privilege. And brother and sister, The reason it's going to be harder and harder to resist, one of the reasons is because that pressure comes and we get more apathetic and we get more lax and we get less easy to push away. And they start pushing. And if you're just kind of lax and you don't have your faith muscles, it's just easy to push you into where they want you. Well, we got to recognize what day we're living in, friends. We got to be seeing Christ among us. We got to see Christ in us. Recognize him. And so many will be tempted to go along, for they will feel it is better to serve God publicly in the framework of this organization than not to serve God at all publicly. So they said, well, we're still going to have church here. And now I know we have to sign some papers. We have to agree to not preach on certain things. We have to agree on certain things, but we're going to still have church. But they err. To believe the devil's lie is to serve Satan, even though you may want to call him Jehovah. Isn't that amazing? Well, we want to keep the church open. We want to keep a lighthouse. We want to keep this. And yet if you join even adherence to just principles, look how simple it is. You don't even have to write anything down. Well, we're just going to agree to this, or, you know, direct or indirect domination. We don't even have to sign a charter or anything. We just have to kind of, well, Brother Phil, just stop preaching on this. Just agree with this a little bit, and we'll be good. And they said, well, can we still have church? You can have church. Absolutely. We have freedom of religion in this country. All right. And just like that, you can take the mark of the beast. It's not a good thing. But, he says this, but the elect will not be deceived. Amen. The elect will not be deceived. And if you're sitting here thinking, well, I'm not going to be deceived. I'm pretty smart, or I can figure this out. You're already deceived, right? This is way more deceiving than anyone can figure out with your own mind. If we're not deceived, if we're elected, it's because of the grace of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad. I used to think you had to study the message and study the message and know it all like that, so you're not going to be deceived. What an idiot. Oh, man. Eyes come open. Liberty. Praise the Lord. Furthermore, the elect will not only be kept, but as this move becomes the image erected to the beast, the saints will be gone in the rapture. And then you want to hear what happens when we're gone? This little delightful, winsome movement that started out in fellowship at Ephesus will become the monster of Satan that defiles and deceives the whole world. For the church system of the Roman Catholic and the Protestant in coming together will control the whole wealth of the world system and force the whole earth into its religious trap, or will kill them by refusing them the privilege of buying and selling whereby they can make a living. This will be accomplished simply for the harlot's daughters are all but gone back to her. Brother and sister, once we're gone, and we're going to see the beginning of these things, we're going to see, I don't know how much of it, but we're going to be persecuted, he said, against the true bride. They're going to shut us down, doing whatever. But before this whole thing completely takes over, we're going to be out of here. Amen. I'm glad of that. My. He said, the ecumenical council is forcing and will force every Protestant denomination into it. It practically all is there now, full gospel and all. And the hour is going to come when they'll have to come or stay out. And at that time, when that force comes, you've already identified yourself with the mark of the beast. You got to get out now, friends. He said, what is it? A Protestant harlot with the old mother Rome, the whore. Revelation 17 said she was a mother of harlots. Protestant denominations holding out in her hand the cup of the wrath of God for her toast, her testimony. This is what we believe. And each one, this is what we believe. Here's what the church is supposed to believe. He's talking about the Bible, the word of God. Let every man's word be a lie. So let me look at this just a little bit. So he says, this Protestant harlot with the old mother Rome, the whore, and the Protestant denominations holding out in her hand the cup of the wrath of God for her testimony, her toast. And they're holding it out. And what is it? Our doctrines. This is what we believe. And this is what we believe. And this is why we know we're right and you're wrong. It's not because they see Christ in flesh, it's because they have a doctrine. And you can even have the right doctrine and still be holding it out in fornication, because that doctrine has become your idol. That doctrine has become where you focus on. Instead of seeing Christ in flesh, you have a doctrine. Brother Brandon said, Satan don't care how right you are in your doctrine. If your life ain't there, you're not coming up anyhow. Boy, it's deceiving. My. So what's it going to do? They're doing it now, brother and sister. It's using political correctness to force compliance. You think it ain't happening? You look in the news sometime. Look how many people are losing their job because they say the wrong thing in public. Happen all the time. Politicians and stuff you did 30 or 40 years ago. Yeah, this is exactly what's happening. It's a forcing, friends. You are going to comply with them, and they come. Well, don't you want everyone to be nice to each other? Political correctness is just making sure everyone's nice to each other. What's wrong with that? Stick around. You'll see what's wrong with that. It's an antichrist spirit. Like I said the other day, I talked about the things they want me to start teaching in class in at work. It's going to be exciting. I'm not going to teach something that I don't believe. As if I'm backing up. I'm going to give them the information. But if they think that I'm going to get behind it and agree with it and say this is a good idea, it ain't going to happen. So do I lose my job? If God wants me to lose my job, I'll lose my job. I don't think I will, but it sure could happen. It's a forcing, friends. You're going to comply. People try to get the preacher to comply up here sometime. Oh, man. But it looks good. You can lose your job. You can lose your family. You lose your health. They can kill you, lose your freedom. They'll put you in jail. In Canada, it's way worse than it is here now. To preach some of the things Brother Jerry and I preach would put us in jail in Canada. They have way stricter laws up there. It's coming, friends. Oh, my. Blinding through the false teaching. Let me finish up. I think this is the last one, yeah. Brother Branham says this. He says, "Herein is now set forth the love of God. He desired in love a family of his own, a family of sons like himself. There before him lies all mankind as one lump of clay. Out of that same lump, he will now make vessels unto honor and unto dishonor. The choosing will be his own choosing. Then those chosen ones, born of his spirit, will be trained to conform to his image in their walk." That's what I was just talking about a little bit ago. Once you're born again, you're born a spiritual babe, and you must grow up and learn how to walk the way he wants you to walk. Remember, he said, character is a victory, not a gift. He reproves with all longsuffering and gentleness and mercy. Sometimes the reproof don't feel that way, does it? Don't feel gentle and merciful. But the Bible says no chastening for the moment is joyous, but grievous. But afterwards, it causes the peaceable fruit of righteousness. We know what that's about, don't we? He chastens with nail-scarred hands. Isn't that something? He knows what it's like. He knows the pain. He's experienced it. And so when he chastens us, he knows just the right amount of chastening. He knows he doesn't, you know, some people, they beat their kids and call it spanking, and it's just not the same thing at all. It's abuse. But he knows how to spank us. It's in love. So then he says this, "Sometimes this potter must take the vessel he is working on and thoroughly break it down in order that he may rebuild it exactly as he desires it." Boy, those are the fun times, aren't they? He said, "But it is love. That is his love. Another way of his love there is not, there cannot be." So his love is chastening. His love is it rebukes, it chastens, it molds us. Then he says this, "O little flock, do not fear. This age is fast closing." He's talking about Laodicea. "As it does, those tares will be bound together. And as a threefold cord is not easily broken, they will have a tremendous threefold strength, the political, physical, and spiritual, which is satanic power. And they will seek to destroy the bride of Christ." With this threefold cord of political, physical, and satanic power, they will seek to destroy the bride of Christ. She will suffer, but she will endure. And you know why she will endure? Because what he said in the paragraph before that, because he's taught you, he's chastened you, he's rebuked you, he's brought you through all this stuff, and he's built a character, he's molded a character into you that will endure the chastening, it will endure the pressure. Because see, if your character hasn't been molded that way and you become strong in that, then when that pressure comes, you will cave in. It will happen. It's like building the house when it's built on a rock and you go down deep and you put that foundation in rock all the way down to the bedrock and you build up and the pressure comes against it, it just stands there. Why? Because it's completely built on that revelation of where it's supposed to be. The one that's not built on the revelation is going to get swept away. The pressure is going to be too great. And they're going to think they're doing the right thing. And they're going to think they're serving God. They're going to think they're message believers. And they're going to point at you and say, this is a fanatic over here. Yeah, it's our brothers and sisters in the message who's going to betray us, folks. Jesus said they're going to betray you. You think when they start bringing pressure against us, you think all the people who are message believers who go along with that system and don't recognize it, you think they're not going to turn you in? You need to go shut that church down in Dixon. They're a bunch of crackpots there. There's plenty of people who like to do that right now. It's true, folks. What's going to happen? There's a little bit of pressure coming on them. You want to keep your job? You need to tell us where some of these. You say, Phil, this is just some like conspiracy theory. I'm reading it. I'm reading. This is what the prophet said. This is the reality of what we get to face. This is what we have to look forward to. Isn't that exciting? He said, she will suffer, but she will endure. Fear not those things that are coming upon the earth, for he who loved his own loveth them unto the end. Fear not those things coming upon the earth. Fear not this pressure. Fear not the squeeze. Fear not the persecution. Fear not them trying to shut you down. Fear not what they're going to say against you. And I'm going to tell you why Sunday morning, why you don't need to fear it. Because it's going to be the most exciting time the bride of Christ has ever had. You want to see the power of God working. Just hang around. Exactly right. And for those who don't want it, those who don't believe it, those who have an easier way out, they're going to get hunted down like dogs in the tribulation. And either you turn completely against the message, you're going to be destroyed. It's going to be a horrible time. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? Say, Brother Phil, that doesn't sound very wonderful. Well, when you look at time, this is the end of time. All the way down. Look at all the things that happened through history. The great civilizations, the great wars, the great invention, the great people. And here at the very end, there's going to be a tiny little space of time where the bride of Christ is going to show this is what it's all been about. This is what it's been about. Babylon and Rome and Persia and Greece and Egypt and England and all these great civilizations, this is what it was all about. What a time. Amen. Let's stand.